Okay, we left off last week still with a shaila, a lot of the noach questions we got back to on the parsha. We left off with a problem of why Eliyahu HaNavi was called Isha Elohim. What's the Isha Elohim? The combination of this lashon Isha Elohim. See, Moshe Rabbeinu was also called Isha Elohim. The other Navim were called Bnei Elohim. What is this lashon? Chazal actually make it in a way you could get more confused. Chazal tell us, what does it mean, Isha Elohim, that Moshe Rabbeinu was Isha Elohim? He was Mechetziv Lamata Adam, Mechetziv Lamala Elohim. What does that mean? From halfway down, he was Adam. From halfway up, he was Pechina like a Malach. What does that mean? It's also, it's further explaining it, but at the same time, we're getting more confused to understand what's going on. What's it coming to tell us? So I'm going to share with you another question. When Eliyahu HaNavi appears with his Nevuah over here, the Pasuk says as follows. Eliyahu HaNavi appeared, the Azor Oer Azur B'Mosnav. And he was tied up with this leather belt. This becomes almost like the symbol of Eliyahu HaNavi. Where did this belt come from? Right. So why am I asking you? Obviously I'm asking you because I'll tell you where it came from. It has to be fascinating where it came from. Chazal asked the question. Chazal says as follows. What's the Ezer Oer? Says Chazal. This is found in the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, Perek Lamed Aleph. Oisoy ayul shenivre ben ashmoshes. There was a special ram that was created in the 6 days of creation, Erev Shabbos ben ashmoshes. You know, ben ashmoshes, there were 10 special things that got created. Each one of those things that were created ben ashmoshes were historical things. Whether it was the opening of the earth to swallow up Korach, whether it was the Piyosin, the famous mouth of the donkey that spoke to Bilam HaRosha. So there was an aisle. And that aisle that was created, Ben Ashmoshes, was the aisle of Akedas Yitzchak. There's all kinds of lumdish questions about that. We know one of the Psulei Kodshim is an animal that's a Zokain. So the Maril Diskin asks if the animal was created, Ben Ashmoshes, right? When the world was created, Lachor, by the time of the Akedah, there was a Zokain. Should have been possible. You hear Dr. Kram, it's a good shayla. L'chor was very old. So you like Reb Yankov's answer. Reb Yankov used to talk about this a lot. He would say, because Reb Yankov, when he was in the 80s, upper 80s, he was still energetic. He ran around. He would go to Chicago and Toronto. And he used to say it like this. He said, Zikna is not an age. He said, Zikna is a matziv. It's a state. He says, so don't mention that I have zikna when they zenim fuftzik. When ich bin noch nicht azokin. I'm not old yet. I'm still not azokin. It's a state of mind. State of being. So Reb Yankov wanted to be mechadish that the psul zokin by kotshim is if the animal shows zikna. It's not how many birthdays went by. So he said, this aisle that was created, Ben Ashmosh, is a special aisle. Obviously, Hashem created it with the genes to be able to stay young. And mainly, even though it was a Zokin Yoshev B'Yeshiva, it wasn't possible. I say it, Rabbi Yankov Kizot. Well, Lamaise, the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer says as follows. Lo Yotza Bei Dover Levatola. There was not one thing about that aisle that went Levatola, went in vain, went to waste. Every part of that aisle was used. And it goes on to say that they're going to make a navel of David HaMelech. Oiroi, the skin, hoyo ezo oyo shel Eliyahu HaNavi. Says the Medrash, Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, that aisle of Yitzchak, the shofar we know was on Har Sinai, that was the shofar of Har Sinai, that's going to be the shofar of Lasid Lavoi, when Mashiach comes. The skin of that aisle was used for the belt of Eliyahu HaNavi. So obviously there's something deeper going on here. And that's what the Torah is telling us. When the Torah goes out of its way to talk about the Ezer of Eliyahu HaNavi, it's not just telling us he had a belt. It's telling us you should know where the belt came from. The special belt. This belt came from Eliyahu HaNavi, from the Akedah of Avraham Avinu, from the aisle that was created by Nesh Moshe. So it's an answer, it's both an answer and a question at the same time. Why in the world is Eliyahu HaNavi using that belt? It's like almost like Mila Behegdish. Eliyahu HaNavi could have gotten and bought himself a belt. What are you, what's the belt was made out of the skin of the aisle. What's going on here? So it's an answer, but it's a question too. It's an answer and a question at the same time. So I'll tell the Eilam Ashtikal idea, which really can be connected to the next parak that we're going to learn, Parak Beis. Parak Beis talks about the introduction to the demise of Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaNavi had a very special Talmud, Elisha. And Elisha took over Eliyahu HaNavi. Perhaps tomorrow we'll go into this more. What does it mean, take over? Why does one Navi have to take over from another Navi? Right? That's a kasha that many of the Achronim ask. But Eliyahu HaNavi was Nimshach. He was anointed as a Navi, Tachas Eliyahu. He took over his Rebbe's post, his Rebbe Eliyahu HaNavi. And the post goes on over there to say that when Eliyahu HaNavi wanted to leave, so Elisha didn't want to let him go. Eliyahu HaNavi tells his Talmud Elisha, Shavo poi ki Hashem shlochani at Beiskel. You stay here, I have a mission to do. And Elisha says, Chai Hashem imezovcha. He makes a shvua. He's not letting Eliyahu HaNavi go. Ultimately, Eliyahu HaNavi goes up l'shamayim, as we'll learn. But at that point, he's telling him, I'm not letting you go. That's what he says. So Chazal, over here, discuss what was the level of Elisha. Compared to Eliyahu HaNavi had Talmidim. What was Elisha's level? So without looking into Chazal, we would assume that Mistame, Elisha was the biggest Talmud. He took over his Rebbe. Mistame, he was the biggest one. That's what we would assume. So we go through the Tosefta in Masechet Sota. And the Tosefta in Masechet Sota tells us otherwise. Tosefta Masechet Sota reads as follows. V'chamishim ish mibnei anavim, there were 50 anoshim mibnei anavim. Hoyu gdoilim, they were great men. The other 50 anavim that we're going to learn about, they were great men. Not only they were great men, to some degree they knew more than Elisha. Because they knew that Eliyahu HaNavi was leaving. They knew Eliyahu HaNavi is going to take a flight, a real flight. He's going l'shamayim, and Elisha didn't know it. It says it. Yochom neshem ktanim imenu, Talmud loimam, vayem uelu vayadata ki Hashem lokeches adinecho. V'lamecho yushkulim kineged Eliyahu. These other neviim, they were on the level of Eliyahu HaNavi. So they were Nevi'im, so Eliyahu HaNavi left other Nevi'im around that were equal to himself. Yet who became the Memali Makim? Who took over Eliyahu HaNavi? Elisha. Why? If there were other Nevi'im who were greater, so they should have taken over. Why did he take over? Agut Kasha. Similar to what we asked about Yeshua Benun. Right? Similar question. Maybe even stronger over here. So they were bigger Nevi'im. Comes out that when Eliyahu HaNavi left the Oretz and he went into the Malach state, he left over Nevi'im that were at the same level as him, and they were not chosen by the Rabbanu Shel Olam to take none of them. These 50 Nevi'im that were equated to Eliyahu HaNavi in Nevu'ah, they actually did not take over Eliyahu HaNavi. And who did take over Eliyahu HaNavi? Elisha, who was a lower level. As I say, this is all found in Tosefta Masechet Sota, Perek Yud Beis. And then it says, still in all, Nistalka mehem ruach hakodesh. So they're the ones, these Bnei Anavim, they actually, they lost their level of Ruach HaKodesh, and Elisha was one who took over. So Rav Ginsburg, Zeichet Tzadik Levroch, in his Sefer Musar Anavim, he asked this question. He says he doesn't understand why wasn't any of the Bnei Anavim the successors of Eliyahu HaNavi? They were greater. So he asked a very interesting, similar question. It is the Gemara in Megillah, famous Gemara. The Gemara in Megillah, Daf Gimel, talks about the visions of Daniel. And the Gemara there compares Daniel to Haggai and Zechariah, the other Nevi'im. And Lamai said Daniel saw certain things that the Nevi'im didn't see. And the Gemara there in Megillah struggles, if you remember the Gemara struggles to explain the difference between Daniel and the Nevi'im. And I'll read you the part that's relevant to us. The Gemara says, V'ro'isi ani Daniel levadi es hamare. It's a pasuk in Daniel. Daniel says, I'm the only one that saw the vision. I saw. Me alone. Says the Gemara in Megillah, Iu odif minayu. The Iu chazi, the Inu loy chazi. He saw, they couldn't see. So Daniel saw what the Nevi'im didn't see. But Inu adifu minay. But they, Haggai and Zechariah, the Gemara says over there, and Malachi, they were greater than Daniel. The Inu Neviv, Iu loy Navi. They were Nevi'im. They had Nevuah. Daniel did not have Nevuah. Ask of Ginsburg, the Yesh Mokom Lishua. Im Daniel oya Odif Minayu. If the Gemara in Megillah is telling us that Daniel was able to see certain things that they couldn't see. In Cain, Mipnei Ma Hoyu Nevi'im V'hu Loi Hoyu Navi. That the Gemara doesn't answer. The only thing the Gemara in Megillah says is that in certain ways Daniel was greater than Chagas Chai and Malachi. In certain ways they were greater than him. And the Gemara says he was greater than them. He saw things they didn't see. They were greater than him because they were Nevi'im. Yeah, but why were they Nevi'im? If in fact Daniel was able to see things that Chagas Chai Malachi couldn't see, whatever vision he had a better vision. So why wasn't he Zoiche to be a Navi? At least he should have also been a Navi. Should have also been a Navi. Why are they not? So Rav Ginsburg, Zeichet Tzadik Levracha, says this very similar idea that I heard from Rabbi Yankovin, Zeichet Tzadik Levracha. Very similar idea. What's a Navi? We know that there were many, many Nevi'im that are not counted amongst the Nevi'im. The Gemara says in Megillah, Memchas Nevi'im Nisnabu LeYisrael, 48 Nevi'im. But then the Gemara says that we had more than double Nevi'im than the Yetzei Mitzrayim. Okay? So more than 1.2 million Nevi'im. Yet we only have recorded the 48, in Chazal, 48 Nevi'im. So what happened to the other, to 1.2 million? That's not fair. What happened to them? So the Gemara says, well, Nevuah Shehutzrecha L'Doiris, a Nevuah that was needed for future generations, that is recorded. They're the Nevi'im that we count. And Nevuah Shalai Hutzrecha L'Doiris is not recorded. So Yankov Zatzal said, so what do you see? You see that the greatness of a Navi is not on the Nevuah that he gets, but the amount of it that he gives over to somebody else. And the Gemara basically is saying that we're only recording the Nevi'im that their Nevuah became relevant for Klal Yisrael. We're not recording it based on what Nevuah they received. We're recording it based on the Nevuah that they gave over. This is an unbelievable Yisoid in Nevuah. That Nevuah comes from what? Not from what you receive, but from what you give over. And Taka, the word Navi comes from the Lashon Nevivs Fasayim, Noivs Fasayim, the movement of the lips. Not the receiving end, the giving end. The giving end. Zocht Rabbi Yankev, it's true, on the receiving end, Daniel had a koyach that Chagai Zchariah Malachi didn't have, as far as vision. But in the giving over, that was Chagai Zchariah Malachi, they had their own koyach to give over. And that's why they were Nevi'im, the Iulav Navi. He was not a Navi, they were Nevi'im. Because the Nevu is not based on the receiver only, of course you have to receive. It's based on the ability to give over. And that, in that way, Chagas Chaim Malachi, they tipped the scale. We perhaps could say that that's the word Isha Olekim. Isha Olekim means, how much Nevuah can you get? It's only as much that you could bring it down to the level of Ish. If you're just going to be Elohim, that's not a purpose. If the Navi is just going to try to be like a Malach, that's not a purpose. The job of the Navi is to be an Ish or Elohim. His job is to be the bridge between Shemayim and Oretz. I often said that's the reason why, you know, Har Sinai, the first time Har Sinai is recorded in the Torah, in a hidden fashion, is in Parashas Vayetze, Yankev Avinu. V'hine sulam mutzav alza v'roishem agi ha-shamay v'nimalach elikim oylem v'yordim boy. So the Baal HaTurim brings down the Medrash. Sulam mutzav alza, what does that ladder represent? Har Sinai. Why? Why is the ladder of Yankev Avinu's dream Har Sinai, why is it a ladder? Because the purpose of Matan Torah is that it should be a bridge between Shemayim and Eretz. It's a way to go up. It's a way, Mutzav Arzo, and it's a way to go up. And that's why that was the uniqueness of Eliyahu HaNavi. Kenman Zogin, all of the things that were created Bein HaShemashes, why were they created Bein HaShemashes? Because Bein HaShemashes, what is Bein HaShemashes? Bein HaShemashes is the bridge between the weekday and Shabbos Kodesh. Bein HaShemashes Erev Shabbos, Shabbos is Lamala Min HaTeva, Shabbos is a Bechina of Ruchni, of Shamayim, and the 6 days of the week are Yemei HaMaiseh. And what's Bein HaShemashes? Bein HaShemashes is the bridge between the weekday and Shabbos Kodesh. And Memela, since the mission of Eliyahu HaNavi was to make that bridge, that's why he wore a belt that was created from that aisle, Shenivru Bein HaShemashes. And that's our mission in this world, really, to bridge Shemayim V'Oretz in everything we can do in our entire lives. One of my most favorite Veltlach, Mamish by me, maybe my most favorite Velt, is Machlekes Beishamayim Beisila with the Malshah. It says that the Malshah, Rabbi Nsiyan just asked me, Rabbi Brody asked me this Yom Kippur, Pshat in that Gemara, that Beishamayim Beisila will argue, is it better to be in the world, is it better not to be in the world, right? Noichlodim Shenivra, Noichlodim Shaloi Nivra. What does it come out at the end of the Gemara? You'd see. Better not, right? It's a very depressing Gemara. The Gemara says, Noichloi Shaloi Nivra, Mishenivra. It sounds almost like it's Nebuch, you're stuck here. Better not to be here. A guy comes over, he says, my wife had a baby. He says, yeah, both dynamics. Better not to be here. Both dynamics. What's pshat? So the Marshah says a gewaldige pshat. You remember this Marshah? Hillel, you remember the Marshah, right? Marshah and Marcus. You remember it? You do. I disagree, you do remember. Marshah says a gewaldige pshat. The Marshah says, Nimnu v'gomgu. Beishamei and Beisil counted. They counted the mitzvahs. And they counted the mitzvahs, and there are what? There are 248 mitzvahs asay and 365 lois asay. If somebody comes to you with a business deal, they say, do you want to invest? You say, well, what are my chances to make money? If the guy says, well, you have a 70% chance to lose and a 60% and a 30% chance to gain, what are you going to do? You're not buying the coffee machine. If you're only 30% gonna gain, if the scale tips in the negative direction, you don't make an investment. Zokta Marsha, Nimnu Vagomru. They counted the mitzvahs. And they counted the mitzvahs, and it comes out that there's 365 averas. So it's easier to mess up. There's more opportunity to mess up than to do positive. Noyach loy, it's easier. Shaloi nivro, mishin nivro. Azay zok demar sho. Okay, but so what's takap shat? L'maisa, when I hear somebody had a baby, I wish them a harzik mazel tov. And I'm very happy. I don't go to a shalom zocha depressed. Yeah, so what's takap shat? So the Baal Shem has a gevaldik pshat. The way the Gemara reads, the Gemara says, nimnu v'gomru noyach loy shaloi nivro, mishin nivro. First, Beis Shammai said, Noyach Loi Shenivra, Loi Nivra, and Beis Hillel said, Noyach Loi Shenivra. The end is everybody agreed, Noyach Loi Shenivra. And how does the Gemara end? The Achshav Shenivra, Yefashvish B'maisav. Now that you're here, do your best. Simply, you read the Gemara, listen. Better not to be here. Now that you're here, make the best of it. How you is? A guy gets on the highway, it's Erev Shabbos, he gets stuck in traffic, he pulls up to the side of the road. Nabuch, he's away from his family, and he's alone. He doesn't have Shabbos food. And to top it all off, the only motel right on the side of the road is Motel 6. Nabuch, Tom Odette, whatever his name is. Yeah. Would have been better if there would have been a Hilton there, but it's a Tom Odette. He's stuck in a Motel 6, Nabuch. Noyach loy, it would have been better not to end up in a Motel 6. But now that you're there, make the best of it. Man, what do you do, sit there and be depressed? Fine, it's Motel 6, it's kind of fine. It could have been worse. It could have been a youth hostel. Motel 6, at least Tom Odette, he leaves the lights on for you as he's up down. Right? At least there's heat. There's the shkefelach. That's the way you read the Gemara simply. Zok to Baal Shem, that's not pshat anymore. Zok to Baal Shem. In everything in life, you could bring the Rabbanu Shalom. You could bring Hashem into everything that you do. If you do that, then there's much more than 248 mitzvahs. Every part of your life, you could bring the Rabbanu Shalom. So Noach loy shaloi nivra mishenivra. It's true. If you're just looking at the mitzvahs, nimnu v'gamru, then it's true. There's more ways to mess up than to do positive. But achshav shenivra, you're here. Make it valuable. Yefashvish b'maisa. Look in your regular actions. Bring Hashem into your regular actions, and then it's going to come to be a profitable stay. In this planet, then it's worthwhile being here. That's the pshat. That's our job. Our job is to be Markev Shemayim and Oretz, to bring Shemayim into every element of our lives. I heard from Dr. Schusner, it's getting late. I'll have to leave this for tomorrow. Okay, stop here.